swiping across all things online.
We're scrolling the socials on Moolah.
Now, I love maths. You love maths. We all love maths. Season 11 maths is riveting. Riveting must-see television. And we have a very special guest. We have Bryce, who's also survived the maths experience and walked away with a beautiful bride and a couple of twins.
Came out battle-hardened.
Battle-hardened.
With some kids and a wife, you're right. But, it was an experience.
You've got an experience, and I want to have a chat with somebody who is no longer on the program. Ben Walters is his name. You might remember Ben from this.
My feelings or my thoughts through melody, through music, it's very emotive. So I've been unaware of f***ed up behaviours. When you get the mirror held up to you and you go, okay, everyone else is seeing that, but is that really who I am? I'm just like, whoa. So that was heavy.
Heavy indeed. And it's not an easy life. I've learned a lot about maths through Bryce and the experience of being on a program like that. Ben, how are you feeling now that you are no longer in the show?
Well, firstly, thank you for having me. And that's an interesting intro. I was wondering how you're going to throw me up into that. And it's just like, you hear that music I was playing and then you hear the creepy music behind. It's like, oh, shit.
Dun, 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 dun. I know. Look, it is, I know from Bryce, because I know Bryce, that it's what you see is not always exactly what takes place. And there are certain strategies used to, I don't know, have heroes and villains and heroes' journeys. And
it's manipulating a situation, you'd say, wouldn't you, Ben?
Yeah, so, like, for the most part, about three quarters of what you see of me is me. Like, I'm not perfect, and they certainly displayed all my lowlights. And what I noticed is all the good times and all the positive things just didn't make the cut.
Ah, so my interpretation
of it was...
That sounds very familiar.
But I understand, like, and if you're going to make a movie and everyone's getting along, you don't watch it. You know, you need ups and downs and twists and turns. And when I realized that was part of what was happening to me, I thought, you know, bugger this, I'm going to get out. You know, that's one of the motivations why I wrote Leave. I realized I'm pushing shit uphill. Things are stacked against me. I don't think I've got what it takes, or do I want to actually try to twist this around? So all that compiled in my mind and thought, nah, I'm out. I'm checked out of this one.
How has it been on your, like, sleep, eating, friendships, like your overall sense of well-being, self-confidence?
That's a great question. So when I left the show, if you watch the fourth commitment ceremony, John Aiken was ripping into me and I was like a deer in the headlights. I was red in the face. I was blood-eyed. When all that finished, it was about 1 a.m. and I was holding back tears. And then the next day, you know, I left the show. Instead of heading home, I decided to, they transferred me in like a car and decided to go to my parents' house thinking it might be maybe a night or two. And I was there for a week and I've never hugged my parents as much because, you know, they have unconditional love and support. And I was really taking on their quote unquote experts' advice, like I'm this terrible person. And they called me a gaslighter. And I've since found independent psychology help and really determine what is gaslighting. Am I of that behavior? Was that a true interpretation or feedback? And what we've concluded, it's bullshit. So
yeah,
it's for dramatic effect.
Yeah, you bring up a good point with that term gaslighting. Now, George, you're all across it.
I do it all the time. Well, it's my whole life is gaslighting people.
Ben, I don't know if you watched my series of it a couple of years ago, but I kind of got accused of that whole same thing as well, where for me, it was just me being honest with my wife. Like, I think I went into the experiment, probably like yourself, wanting to be true to your own personality, to your character, as you said. What they do show is everything that you do say, but they choose and pick apart your personality to show. So I'd love to get your thoughts on the experts, because I certainly have my own thoughts on the experts. I do use that term very loosely.
Very generous definition. Yeah,
but yeah. Tell me about it.
I've been watching your series quite closely, and particularly John Aiken you brought up. So he's the male expert. For those that don't know what Married at First Sight is, you've got three experts. You've got a sexpert, who's a South American lady, lovely. You've got Mel Schilling, who's been on the show since day dot, and also John Aiken, who's the male expert. But he's kind of turned into the asshole, you could kind of say. Would you sort of agree?
That's probably the nicest way to put it, it's asshole. in my opinion. So prior to going on the show, see, I've barely watched it. And when I got accepted for the show, I'll never call it an experiment ever again. I'm just going to continue to call it a show from this day forward. I Googled all their profiles, and to be honest, I was a bit impressed with their relationships and psychology. I thought, wow. So I really took their feedback on board, but it's not until you're on the show where they realize, and you can hear they've got earpieces. So they're not even saying their own words. They're saying TV producers' words in their ears.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, right, okay. And then if I, because I'm seeking some, like I'm seeking a psychologist at the moment, just sort of moving forward from the show. And they're there to help. They're there to genuinely support through good or bad to, but they weren't. And I thought, what kind of shit show is this? Like, how is this adding value as a quote-unquote expert? And then I was able to clearly distinguish, no, they're TV producers doing as they're told with earpieces in their ears. Mm. And then didn't like one of the experts leave a few years ago for ethical reasons?
Yeah, the New Zealand one. And she actually sadly passed away a couple of years ago. But yeah, she did leave for that reason.
Okay.
Yeah, look, I think it is a really tough thing, and I just don't see how you can leave people in such an unsafe, a psychologically unsafe environment. You know, it's just interesting. We have all this legislation stuff about workplace bullying and creating psychologically safe environments and duty of care to people, and yet we see this being played out both within couples and by experts and so on. I just don't know how they cannot have any responsibility. Like I always feel like it's only a matter of time until somebody hurts themselves really seriously, having been through this process, not just of being publicly told who you are and that you have these, you know, essentially a sociopath, narcissistic personality traits in public by people who know you not at all, but then send you out into the world. Like, no wonder you want to go home to mum and dad. Want to be sleeping between them, cuddling up to them both like a four-year-old after an experience like that. Like, did you feel like it was a really unsafe place for you to be just in terms of your character and your mental health?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. And I think furthermore, I think some people in the UK series of Love Island has actually committed suicide.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was a host of it as well. So yeah, it was a host.
I don't watch reality TV, so when I later learnt that, I thought, actually, I can see that happening. And you're right about workplace health and safety. Like, so there was times where I'd finish, like, get back to the apartment, you know, sort of clock off work, if you will, at, like, 5 in the morning, then schedule to film at, like, 10 a.m. or 9 a.m. So in standard work practice, you're meant to have, like, an 8 or, I think, a 10-hour break minimum in terms of managing fatigue. So that's just, you know, if you're continuously being pushed with continuous fatigue, you're going to snap. So in terms of not following, I think it's actually law that's broken. But that's one thing. But in terms of being portrayed in such a negative light, like, you put anyone under the pump continuously fatigue all the time. It's kind of like being in COVID in a way. Like, people were locked down for a couple of weeks at a time and people would fry their noodle. You know, so it's an unhealthy way manage. But if you're doing that with someone, with producers who's, in my case, I knew that they were out to sort of, you know, I found there was a bit of favoritism. So if you're promoting drama or have perhaps a likable characteristic, that the story producers think, all right, we're going to favor that. Whereas in my case, it started to turn. So they put the heat on you until you essentially snap. And then eventually they got you on camera.
Yeah, we had a case in our series, Ben, with one of the participants that was a girl. Her name was Rebecca. So she got promised another spot in a TV show, Celebrity Apprentice, if she was to stay on for the rest of the series to basically antagonize myself. And obviously that would try and affect my wife and I's relationship because I want to try and get us to break up. And us, I don't know. They use little tactics and stuff like that. It drives you insane when you're in that zone, George.
I just think, you know, what you said about COVID, well, that's all fine. No one had a choice about that. But if I was being filmed during that lockdown of COVID, it wouldn't be pretty. And your pain is used for entertainment. When we come back, I know Bryce had some experiences about wanting to get out of there and some of the dangers. And if you're comfortable, Bryce, to share some of those really, really dark moments for you, I think we should all give Ben a big hug and we'll come back after this.
Swiping across all things online.
We're scrolling the socials on Moolah.
We certainly are, and we have an escapee, somebody who saved himself, Ben Walters, who was on MAFS and he ran for his life when he realised that he was not being treated very well. The breaking point for you, Ben?
The breaking point was that last week. So there was a commitment ceremony where Ellie wrote leave, I wrote stay, and two things happened. I didn't sleep very well, the reason why I had pressures of the relationship in my mind, and also I had a very bad tooth pain, which later got pulled out the next day. So I just hadn't slept in a day and a half, and I said to producers, hey, I need some time, I need some day, you know, I just need a break. Can we film in the afternoon or the next day? And they agreed, and then they burst in the door with cameras, and they completely stitched me up. So that's when I... None of this made airtime, but I just refused. I just walked out. The cameras followed me, but none of this made airtime.
Yeah, and we're talking to Ben Walters of Married at First Sight, who's just left the show a week or so ago. And you've raised a good point that something that they show that you've mentioned on there was your toothache. And obviously, if anyone's had a toothache, George, like a wisdom tooth,
it's all-consuming. It's all-consuming. You can't think about anything
else. It's so uncomfortable. But imagine being uncomfortable with yourself, like with a medical issue, then in an uncomfortable environment, like filming a show like Married at First Sight, because it's so intense. But then you go and say it and they show it, then people that are viewers watching the show don't believe you. Like, I had a situation like this where my wife and I got dragged into, well, it was more so myself, got dragged into a situation where there was a rumor of me having a secret girlfriend that lived in Canberra, where I was living at the time. And they had a boys and a girls night, which you guys didn't have on this series. And one of the girls came back and said, oh, I've spoken to this girl, et cetera, to my wife on the show, Liz, who I'm actually still with to this day. And it was completely just false. It was just made up for her to, I don't know, try and drive this rumor, how I've explained to you, George.
Get the drama.
But the day after the show, we had a dinner party coming up. And obviously, they'd separated us the night before. It was the only night that we were forced to be separated as a couple because we actually got along. And we ended up getting put in separate rooms for, I think it was about 7 hours or so. I got to the point that I had to break out of the room. So I was in literally PJs, like a pair of footy shorts and a singlet, barefoot, walked in the Martin Place. Now, if you know Sydney, it's one of the main streets in Sydney. Found a payphone off getting some money from a guy that I just asked, a businessman walking the streets. He gave me a couple of bucks, called my parents. I said, well, what can we do? We live on the Gold Coast. So I called the police and ended up going back to our hotel where we were living with the police, and the producers and everything saw it. They obviously saw alarm bells and thought, you know what, you can have a night off the dinner party, which is never happen. Unless you're away, like last night there was a girl that had a medical episode, you're never missing one of those
but
dinner parties.
But this is the level of desperation, right? You're feeling so unsafe. Not that someone's going to hit you over the back of the head, but for you to have to go to police is saying this is an emerging, you know, urgent situation and I am in peril. And you are. You don't know that you've been scripted as the baddie.
Well, I was always told never to repeat that story from the producers at the time and from the head of the network. And I was like, well, okay. But then I thought, as the show aired, I was like, well, why would I not actually say what's going on?
Yeah.
And it got to the point, and this is what it infuriates me to this day, that Channel 9 came out and said that, oh, we categorically deny that ever happened. I'm like, well, you made me sign something to say that I would never say it. Yeah, I broke it. You're never going to try and sue me because you know it happened.
Yeah, truth is a defense.
I'm like, well, exactly. Truth is a defense in my case. So, and I'm like, there's another couple of examples I could touch on too.
But keep the peace, but whose peace am I keeping? Yeah. Like, why do I stay silent? This isn't a story that you're proud of. Like, no one wants to be the guy
absolutely
wandering
not
around Martin
but relating
Place.
To Ben, how he comes out and how you said on the show about your situation, people are like, oh, we don't believe it. It's not true. I'm like, these actually do happen, these type of situations. Mm. And you're going back into the real world, essentially, because the MAFS bubble is, it's a fake bubble. And you go into your real world. You were telling me before we spoke last week that you've actually been working in your job day in, day out while the show has been airing, correct?
Yeah, yeah. I took a couple of tours around the country, three since, and they're all overseas customers, so they're unaware of the show, but people spotted me in the street and they had to unpack it. The best thing, it's so good because they'll be more mature Americans. They're quite intellectual. And the first thing out their mouth, like, isn't it? They just didn't buy it. They go, oh, that's just produced shit. So it made me go, oh, you guys get it. Wow.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, the average person on the street probably doesn't click.
And it's the same in the UK because everyone in Australia legitimately hated myself with a passion. And I can openly admit that. But in the UK, when they saw it back, they had a completely different view, George. It was bizarre. It was like they absolutely adored us. They could see that we were together. And it was like, you guys being bullied and harassed, which is what it actually felt like for us filming the show.
It didn't just feel like it was it.
Well, I mean, it was.
And
yeah.
That's the thing. It's like who's been cast in what role is really, they make that decision very early on.
Yeah.
And then they have to cut the footage to suit the roles that they have decided. Because as you pointed out, Ben, people don't want to watch people getting along and having sensible, reasonable, calm exchanges. They want to see Biffo.
Totally, totally. I sort of put it to like a magic show. Like some of the audience will watch a magic show and go, holy shit, that's magic. But the other half might go, how did they do the trick and appreciate the performance of it? And that's how I watch Maths now. Like I watch the editing and I'm like, damn, that's impressive how they were to put all those things together to create, you know, that outcome and sort of fool the audience, if you will. And other people watch it and go, oh, I see the editing. Yeah, bravo.
Yeah, once you've done a reality TV show, you'll never watch another one the same again. Like, my wife cannot watch any reality TV show, and she used to be a massive Maths fan before doing the show, but she cannot. It gives her
PTSD. Massive anxiety.
Well, I'll give you an example. So she's on mental health leave from work at the moment, but it happens this time every year. She just gets so triggered from being around on social media and seeing it all that she just... And it's not great, like she's getting help for it, but it's that type of thing where it's so triggering for an individual. I'd love to get your opinion before we have to jump off for the show. For someone that looked negative on the show, not just yourself, it could be anyone on any reality TV show, going back into your professional career, so you're a tour guide, you do podcasting as well, do you think that looking negative on a reality TV show, one particularly as big as Married at First Sight, can have a negative effect on your career? Because I experienced it to a degree, but I'd love to get your opinion on what you think could happen going back into a professional career.
Well, in my case, I'm sort of fortunate because my customers are unfamiliar with the show. So I do have that advantage. But the people that do know me in Australia, known for many years, I'm pushing through that because I know the truth. I know who I am. And I've had many people reach out to me professionally and personally saying, Ben, this isn't you. And I've known you for years. So I've been able to look myself in the mirror and be more comforting. But the hard thing is people that just see that version of me on the show, they will probably tar me with that negative brush. So the only way I can sort of foresee it moving future is something in conversation like this. Like, hey, check this interview out or check this podcast I did.
Yeah.
Get the whole raw version, get two sides of the story and then reach that conclusion. That's how I'm, but that's the hard thing. It's just going to be more work in that sense, or just people just give that understanding of what reality TV actually is holistically.
And it causes permanent ongoing injury.
Definitely.
And whether you're going to walk out, even if you walk out with a spouse who adores you, like Bryce and Liz, but nonetheless, it's an injury.
Well, the good news for Ben is that he got out of the show relatively in a good space, I can tell. But your partner is now dating someone else from the show, so that's kind of a cheating scandal. But you now seem to have a lovely girlfriend that you met outside the show, so it's all good for you now, right?
Yeah. I'm so lucky that I've got my girlfriend Aileen with me. She sees reality TV just like you guys, and well before I was even on the show. So she was able to see everything, and she's got my back and totally supportive. And she watches the show, and she met some of the cast members too, and goes, "Man, the amount of clout chasers here and egos in the roof." And yeah, I was so grateful she was able to meet. Went to one of these parties and going, "Wow, that's what it can be, the behind the scenes."
Oh, that's
and,
such a wank fest, yeah. George.
On that note, thank you so much for being with us, Ben Walters. I really wish you well, and thanks for being so open and honest with us here on Moolah on Disrupt Radio. Thanks a million.
No worries. Thanks, George. Thanks, Bryce.